From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of Running Through the Pain, the final message in this series. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The Leadership of Our Guide. The text is John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Truth is like a vast cavern into which we desire to enter, but we are not able to traverse it alone. At the entrance, it is clear and bright. But if we would go further and explore its innermost recesses, we must have a guide, or we shall lose ourselves. The Holy Spirit, who knows all truth perfectly, is the appointed guide of all true believers, and He conducts them as they are able to bear it, from one inner chamber to another, so that they behold the deep things of God, and His secret is made plain to them. What a promise is this for the humbly inquiring mind! We desire to know the truth and to enter into it. We are conscious of our own aptness to err, and we feel the urgent need of a guide. We rejoice that the Holy Spirit is come and abides among us. He condescends to act as a guide to us, and we gladly accept His leadership. All truth we would gladly learn, that we may not be one-sided and out of balance. We would not be willingly ignorant of any part of revelation, lest thereby we should miss blessing or incur sin. The Spirit of God has come that He may guide us into all truth. Let us with obedient hearts hearken to His words and follow His lead.
I have cried.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. As Dr. Cairns is coming to the conclusion of this series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11, he has moved into the 12th chapter, where we find in verses 4 through 13, the apostle reminding his readers that they have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The emphasis here is upon believers not giving up in the face of persecution, opposition, and difficult circumstances. The scriptures make it clear that Christians face many obstacles as they seek to live for Christ. There are things to be resisted, such as the world, the flesh, and the devil. This constant demand for resistance causes the believer pain. Yet believers have consolation in their pain, because we have a word from God. It is vital that God's people study the Bible daily in order to learn of Christ and to find the consolation that He alone can provide. In speaking of the character of our pain, Dr. Cairns reminds us that behind all of it is the hand of a sovereign God, who often uses affliction to chasten his children and to conform them more to Christ. Now, to continue this message, Running Through the Pain, here is Dr. Cairns.
We have a divine book. When Paul is talking to these people and he's saying you're going through trouble and trial and tribulation, he says, look, have you forgotten that you've got a book from God? Have you forgotten that there's a word from God? Have you forgotten that in this word there is just the right word for you? So instead of simply sinking down under your troubles, instead of simply feeling sorry for yourself and bemoaning your lot and flying in the face of God, will you not go back to the scriptures? Why have you forgotten the book of God? Why do you not get the Bible down, get alone with God, and seek the word that God has for you? Because he has a word for you. If you're hurting today, God has a word for you. If you're tempted, there's a word here specifically for you. If you're needing guidance, there's a word here specifically for you. If your mind is in turmoil through many causes, then there's a word specifically here for you. Don't forget it. Don't give up the Bible by running after man's wisdom. Don't give up the Bible by simply wanting to indulge in self-pity. He says, listen, we have a consolation. The Holy Ghost has inspired a word, and it comes alongside of us. Not only that, it comes alongside of us to call us alongside of the Lord. Because here is our consolation. The best way to face life with all its pains and problems is to see everything in the light of the Word of God. And when you can see what's happening to you in the light of God's Word, when you can see this is what God says about it, then, my friend, you will be seeing it in the best way, and you'll get the power to live as the Lord would have you live. I don't think I'm going too far afield if I say the exhortation, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, taken from Proverbs chapter 3. But that exhortation, that which is called alongside, is tied in with the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost, our Comforter, will work within us, what will he do? He will bring us to the Word. And he will let us through the Word see what's happening and give us grace to go on. The consolation in our pain. Now verses 5 to 11 will give us the character of our pain. And this should enable us to endure. And to see that pain and affliction do not necessarily mean punishment or divine displeasure. Verse 5. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. First of all, here's the character of our pain. There's a higher hand in our affairs than the hand of man. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So, when you're opposed by men, see that there's satanic fury behind it. But he comes higher again here. When you're suffering, he says, go beyond men and go beyond devils and realize that the hand of the Lord is there. We believe in the sovereignty of God. That's a wonderful truth to believe. But it's one thing to believe it as a theological proposition. It's one thing to defend it with all the intellect of a Calvinist and all the logic of a Calvinist. It's another thing when you're actually under the rod to be able to look up and say, my God does all things well. There's the hand of God in this. And when you realize the hand of the Lord is in our troubles as well as in our joys, there's something that you'll see from verse 5. And it is that all God's dealings with us are in a way a chastening. Now the word chastening is a very interesting word. Have a look at it there in the English version. What is the first word that you see in it? It's the word chaste. When a person is morally pure, we speak of them as being chaste. When a person is not given to great show, when a person is restrained, we also at times speak of them as being chaste. The idea in the word is purity and modesty and morality, cleanness. That's the idea in the word. A chastening in English, therefore, is a making chaste or making pure. It is a discipline to purge. And therefore, sometimes it can mean a punishment for prior wrong. That's a chastening. Now, there's nothing wrong with that word. But the Greek term does not have in it the idea of chaste. Obviously, it's going to produce that. If you were to read the Greek word, the first word you would see in it would not be the word chaste, it would be the word child. Now you'll see the importance of the term. Chastening, as Paul wrote it here, is literally the education of a child. Now, you all know that when you educate a child, there has to be correction. Even such a model student as I had to get the cane down again. And everybody knows that I would never have been less than absolutely mannerly and submissive and meek and hardworking and all the rest of it. And if you believe that, well, you believe anything. But correction is part of education. You've all heard the jokes about the seat of learning and all that, and what you've got to apply to the seat of learning when you bend the child over. Many a time we got that. And so the education of the child came to have in it the idea of correction. And then, of course, the idea of correction without the idea of education at all. But you can't come to the scriptures and leave out part of the meaning of the word. Paul is talking here about God's dealings with us. He says, yes, there is correction. Yes, there is rebuke. Yes, there is discipline. But in all the Lord's dealings with us, whatever it is, whether he's giving liberally to our hand or whether he's withholding something from our hand, whether he's putting the rod upon us or whether he's not putting the rod upon us, at any given moment, the Lord is educating his children. So that every dealing of God with us, in a manner of speaking, is a chastening. And therefore, when you are suffering, remember it's part of your education. It's part of the making of the complete man. It's part of bringing you through childhood and adolescence to full maturity. Remember, therefore, this is the third point he makes, that the afflictions that a child of God suffers are proofs of fatherly love. Far from being just an indulgence by the Lord in punishment, the devil puts the thought in your mind, the Lord must have it in for me. I've even heard people say that. The Lord must have it in for me. Man, if you're saved today, the very opposite is true. That when the Lord has to apply the rod, or when he doesn't have to apply the rod, he is always working for your good, and it is in fatherly love. And so therefore the rod, the suffering, is not a proof of punishment, but a proof of God's grace and love. And the fourth point he makes under this character of our pain is in verse 10. That God's purpose in all our pain is to conform us to Christ. Notice the words of verse 10, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's a wonderful statement. One great commentator said that God's holiness is his mind and will in perfect accordance with his truth and righteousness. That's a simple definition of holiness. God's mind and will in perfect accord with God's truth and God's righteousness. And when he says that we might be made partakers of his holiness, he's talking about our mind and our will being brought into accord with God's truth and with God's righteousness. Our mind and our will being made one with God's mind and God's will. That's the character and the real reason for affliction, for difficulty. It's why prayer is not just coming and clicking your fingers like some charismatic tells you. You just come and click your fingers to God and command Almighty God and he jumps like a puppet on a string. That's why it's not like that. I mean, you raise your children like that and you raise brats that nobody could like. You know that. You talk about spoiled children. Many parents who have the wit not to spoil their own children get up in arms when the Lord doesn't spoil them, when in part of their education he makes prayer to be long and wearisome and breaking to the flesh. Well, it's part of our education. It's part of making us men who will be without shame and reproach. Now, of course, I should say that suffering in itself has no sanctifying power. You're not made a partaker of God's holiness simply by suffering. Otherwise, the popish invention of purgatory would be a very good invention. Suffering itself doesn't make a man holier. In fact, it's the very opposite. The carnal mind chafes under pain and suffering. Suffering on the carnal mind produces depression and increased rebellion against God. Do you think people are any holier in hell than they were on earth? No, they're not. We have the word of the Lord Jesus for that. Now they're suffering intensely, but he says there's weeping, there's wailing, there's gnashing of teeth. The gnashing of teeth in Scripture is an expression of rebellion. When they gnashed on Stephen with their teeth, when they gnashed on him, that was hatred. In hell, the sinners are more hateful and hating than ever before. More rebellious than ever before. There's no repentance in hell. There's no love for God. There's no purifying in the fires of hell. Pain does not sanctify of itself. What purifies and sanctifies is the faith that sees in our pain the hand of our Father in heaven molding us in the image of his dear Son. And when through the suffering and the anguish and the conflict you can see the hand of God, the Father's hand, educating, molding, guiding, guarding, directing, making you into the finished product, when you can see by faith, Lord, this is for your glory, and this is ultimately for my good, and even though it's hurtful to me now, it is to make me the man God wants me to be. That will have a sanctifying effect. We live and are sanctified by faith, not just by pain.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.